Culture.
Book Review. Categorizing Nature. Class Acts. Every Living Thing by Jason Roberts.
Homo sapiens, Tyrannosaurus rex, boa constrictor. Even the layest of laymen knows that the scientific names of species have two parts. Some may recall that this convention was invented by Carl Linnaeus, a Swede. Classifying nature was a preoccupation of natural historians in the 18th century, and Linnaeus's way won out. Every Living Thing chronicles the race to account for all life on Earth. At stake was not just scholarly immortality, but the very nature of our relationship to nature, the concepts and principles we use to comprehend the living world, writes Jason Roberts. This contest and the book hinge on a rivalry between two men who were both born in 1707. There was Linnaeus, a scruffy chancer who was the son of a village parson. He spent his youth grifting around Europe in pursuit of an education that would let him call himself a doctor and thus qualify for a professorial chair. He ultimately obtained one at Uppsala University and anonymously published rave reviews of his own work. His rival was his polar opposite, a Frenchman named Georges-Louis de Buffon. Rich and comfortable in salons, he was a noted mathematician, cosmologist, and natural historian who was named director of the King's Medicinal Herb Garden, now known as the Jardin des Plantes, by Louis XV. The two men never met, but by the middle of the 18th century, both were famous and at loggerheads. Linnaeus and Buffon saw the world differently. To Linnaeus's mind, nature was a noun. All species remained as created during Genesis. To Buffon, nature was a verb, a swirl of constant change. Systema Naturae by Linnaeus, which went through multiple editions between 1735 and 1768, created a nested arrangement of kingdom, class, order, genus, and species into which every living thing could be assigned. This was practical biology, useful in the proto-laboratories of 18th century science. It was also a celebration of the orderliness of God's creation. Buffon's Histoire naturelle, begun in 1749 and still unfinished when he died in 1788, for his individual descriptions of species were often pages long, was more radical. It proposed a history of Earth that barely acknowledged the biblical version. It also criticized Linnaean taxonomy. Species were not fixed, Buffon said, nor were people. He suggested, for example, that a pale population transported to the equator might, over generations, develop dark skin. This was contentious stuff. Indeed, the theological committee of the Sorbonne, a university in Paris, forced him to recant some of it. But Histoire naturelle was a bestseller. Buffon became the most popular non-fiction author in French history. Some 20,000 people attended his funeral. Why, then, was Buffon eclipsed? Mr. Roberts lays much of the blame at the doors of the self-described rationalists of the French Revolution, which began the year after Buffon's death. They preferred Linnaeus as much for his low birth as for his ideas. Equally important, though, was the utility of the Linnaean system. In particular, its cut-and-dried methodology proved able to digest the plethora of new species then being brought to the attention of European science by travellers to other parts of the world. Buffon's more descriptive approach could not cope. Linnaeus's triumph delayed the acceptance of evolution by defining species on the basis of characteristics asserted to be essential. Worse, by dividing humanity into races, Europeans, Americans, Asians, and Africans, based on the visible characteristic of skin colour, his ideas laid the foundations for scientific racism that has poisoned politics and anthropology, sometimes with genocidal results. Buffon started making a comeback in the 1860s when Charles Darwin described the Frenchman's theories as laughably like mine. for its surprisingly gripping twists and turns, and rehabilitation of Buffon, a hero of his day now mostly forgotten, every living thing is an unnaturally good read.